And that in fact is generally the halacha. However, about the haftedah that we add on the Erev Shchedah, we add on a topic or two of Vayengenisan, Machachedah. Machachedah isn't always even in the same sefer, so how do we read it? So in Shulchan Aruch, it looks somewhat askance on this minik to read Machachedah Taka because of the Gemara, but the Nezik Kalim and Shulchan Aruch say that it's okay. I don't seem to be too thrilled with it, but it's okay because, for the most part, today we all read the Haftarah from a sefer, and so it could be printed one next to the other. The whole reason of not being goyilo has to do with Yechidus Diburah, and here there's no Yechidus Diburah because it's all printed together. Even though in Yerushalayim and in some places they still read from the Shabbat class, but for the most part, that's not how the Haftarah is read today, so it's somewhat okay. That's one thing. Second thing, I just want to talk about, we were talking about the Shevet Yehuda and the Shevet Binyamin yesterday, and here I see a picture, and I said that Ezra's Noshim, Ezra's Yisrael, and Ezra's Kohenim, he said, was in Yehuda, and Binyamin was the Ulam and the Heichal, and the Shakadashim, and then I said that it seems like that only part of Ezra's Kohenim was, in fact, in Shevet Yehuda, and the rest was in Shevet Binyamin, and that, in fact, is how it shows the picture, and here he has a part that's Moshech of Yehuda into Binyamin.
The most of it is Binyamin, but a small tiny part is Yehuda, on the Mizrach, Tzafon Mizrach, right?
Amar Rava, so Rava said, we're at the end of Chavav HaMadbeis.
Right.
The last two lines of the page is where we left off.
Right.
So, Amar Rapapi Mishrei de Rava. Rapapi said in the name of Rava, now, what happens, we've been discussing about selling the shul, selling the bima, selling the art and chedesh, selling the sefer Torah. And we're going to continue this discussion. So, what happens if they want to sell a shul and purchase a Beit Medrash, or they want to sell a Beit Medrash and they want to purchase a shul, so we're going to find a machlokes. So Amar Rapapi Mishrei de Rava. Rapapi said in the name of Rava, Mivrei Mishlo Levei Rabban, if somebody wants to sell a shul in order to buy a Beit Medrash, Shari is permitted, Mivrei Rabban Levei Knishla, to sell a Beit Medrash to buy a shul, also that's not permitted, that's prohibited. But Rapapa Mishrei de Rava, Machli, Ibcha Rapapa, as opposed to Rapapi, Rapapa says in the name of Rava, the opposite. He says that you're allowed to sell a base medrash to buy a shul, then you're not allowed to sell a shul to buy a base medrash because, according to Rapapa, a shul has greater kedusha than a base medrash.
What page do you want in the...
We are now starting the very top of Chav Zayin on the Aleph. 118. It seems that the halacha should follow Rav Papi, who says that you're allowed to sell a shul to buy a beis medrash, but you're not allowed to sell a beis medrash to purchase a shul. The Omer Rav Yishua, now we said Mestabra, that would be the Sfarah. We're not going to actually say a Sfarah, we're actually going to say a reason for why the halacha would seem to follow Rav Papi. The Omer Rav, not a milk of the time, but just that's the way it would seem. The Amar Rav Shur ben Levi, because Rav Shur ben Levi said that the Haknesis Mutal Asisi Beis HaMedrash. Rav Shur ben Levi said that the Haknesis you can convert into a Beis Medrash. So what do we see from here that he said that you can convert a Shul into a Beis Medrash? So it's clear that what does Rav Shur ben Levi hold? Rav Shur ben Levi holds that a Beis Medrash has a higher kedusha than a shul, and so it stands to reason that you can sell a shul to purchase a Beis Medrash, but not vice versa. Shema Mina from here is a proof. So again, we didn't say a sfarah, we just said something that it would seem that's what Rabbi Shul ben Levi holds, and since Rabbi Shul ben Levi, who he dates them, held that way, so that would seem the way the halacha should accord. The other is by kapara, or kapara, Darsha. Isaac says, he said, Darsha on this puff. What is the meaning of this puff? By Yisro, he says, Beis Hashem, they burn the house of Hashem, that's based on Melech, and the house of the king, that Nebuzaradan, when he came to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, the first Beit HaMikdash, this is what happened. He used to be Beit Hashem, he affirms the house of Hashem, but Beit HaMikdash, the house of the king, that's called up in Yerushalayim, and all the houses of Yerushalayim, it's called Beit Gadol, and every great house, not a Fe'esh, he burnt them in a fire. Beit Hashem, the house of Hashem, what does it mean, the house of Hashem? So obviously, that Beit HaMikdash, that refers to the Beit HaMikdash, the Nebuzaradan burnt the Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaMelech. What does it mean, the house of the king? This refers to the palace of the king. That's called Bati Yerushalayim, and all the houses in Yerushalayim, Kimashman. It means every resident in Yerushalayim, as the simple meaning would suggest. It's called Beit Gadol, son of the Asian. Every great house, he burnt in fire. Now, what does it mean, every great house? What is that referring to? Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shuddan, Lady Kad Omar. So now there's a difference of opinion between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shuddan, Lady. One said, Mokim Shemagalim Beiteda, a place that a Beit Gadol means the place that they make great the Torah, which refers to a Beit Medrash. Kad Omar, Mokim Shemagalim Beiteda, the one in which they enhance Sila. In other words, if somebody davens at home, he has a tefillah, his davening is happening, but if you want to enhance the tefillah, you go to shul and you daven with a minyan. So where's the place that you have an enhanced davening? That's in the Beit HaKnesset. So one says that Beit Gadol refers to a Beit Medrash, and one verse says that it refers to a Beit HaKnesset. Now, even although here it doesn't identify which one is which, but it would seem that it's Rabbi Shimon Levi who said that it refers to a Beis HaMedrash, because earlier Rabbi Shimon Levi said that which one is greater, the Beis HaMedrash, and therefore you can convert a shul into a Beis HaMedrash. The one who says that it's a mocking Shem Gadlum Beis Teda, Tiksev, Hashem Chofetz, Matitke, Yagol Teda, V'yadra. That we say about the Torah and Yaakov, the word Yaakov, to make the Torah great. So we see the word Gedulah by Torah, so Makom Shel Gadlus by Torah, and there it says in the Pasuk, Beis Gadol. Amandah Machila, the one who says that refers to a Beis HaKnesset, Tiksiv, because it says, Apatik Sapranah, Hagedilis, Asher Otah, we should say, please recount the great episodes that occurred with Elisha, the miracles that Elisha performed. Elisha, the obvious, when Elisha went and he performed miracles, but he did it through tefillah. So when and there it says suffering the hakidolim, and so when it says by his gadol, it's referring to tefillah.
Not going to either one. Whichever one they say, that's going to leave another one. So that's only the opposite one that wasn't destroyed. That was only one of them.
Well, yes, or it could be that just talking about a list that's not completely exclusive. The sign of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Let us bring the proof that Rabbi Shimon Levi, who done the Makom Shel Gadlus Beit Teda, that it was Rabbi Shimon Levi that said that it was the place that they. That the places that they burnt was the Beit Medrash. And that the Makom Shel Gadlus Beit Teda, the Amar of Rabbi Shimon Levi, the Tekan, the Matlah Seder, the Beit Medrash, Mami, no, it's a proof from here that it was Shimon Levi. So now, Tosfos says, okay, so what did we accomplish with all of this? We have a Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi. So why did we just say that, let's bring a proof to Rav Papi, that Rav Papi and Rav Papa, who lived later than Rav Shimon Levi, would have to, that Allah would have to follow Rav Papi, because Rav Papi goes in accordance with Rav Shimon Levi, when there's also Rav Yechanan disagreed. The Pesach says, from here it was seen that whenever there's an argument between Rav Shimon Levi and Rav Yechanan, the halacha would follow Rav Shimon Levi, because otherwise what would be the proof there? There was no benefit in giving all this case. From here we can see that the halacha accords with Rabbi Shimon Levi when he argues with Rabbi Yochanan. I say that because since the Gemara brings a proof, the halacha karafati, that the halacha is like karafati, we should make sure that lady karikavazi, because we're sure the lady is in accordance with his opinion, apagap, Rabbi Yechon and Polygalay, even though Rabbi Yechon would argue and would seem to agree with Rav Papa.
Maybe it's just in this case, we said in every case.
No, but here there's no proof, just like we have a machlekes Rav Papi and Rav Papa, and we don't have any extrinsic way of proving which one is correct, so we said, oh, go back and look that Rabbi Shulman Levi says that's similar to Rav Papi. But if we don't have any extrinsic proof, who the halacha would follow in an argument between Rabbi Shulman Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, so, and you don't have any rule that the halacha follows Rabbi Shulman Levi, so then what did the Gemara accomplish here? It just said that it was an earlier generation, it was a machlokes.
Yeah, but still, it doesn't. It could be Rabbi Shulman Levi in this case, maybe the halacha is like him.
But we didn't postulate that the halacha is like Rabbi Shulman Levi. We didn't say we know that the halacha follows Rabbi Shulman Levi, so therefore Rav Papi is correct. We just said that we know that Rabbi Shulman Levi says X, and Rav Papi says X. And so Rabbi Shulman Levi says X, and Rav Papi says X, so the halacha is like Rav Papi as opposed to Rav Papi. But if I don't know that, if I don't have any rule that halacha follows Rabbi Shulman Levi as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, and I don't have any way of proving that Rabbi Shulman Levi is correct in this case specifically, then what did I prove? Well, I think it was really an earlier argument.
He said because of that.
So that places, so we see from here that it must be that the Gemara knew that whenever there's an argument between Rabbi Shulman Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, generally the halacha follows Rabbi Shulman Levi. Abba Bachar Ter Leichus Vayim. If you sold a sefer Torah, you should not buy. The Mishnah says, if you sold a sefer Torah, you may not do with the proceeds purchased svarim. So, now remember we said that whenever you sell something, you always have to go up in Kedusha. You have to purchase something that's greater in Kedusha with the proceeds of the funds of something that's sold. So we said that if you sell svarim, if you sell on the VMX, so then you can purchase with it a sefer Torah. But if you sell a sefer Torah, you cannot purchase with the proceeds. The Gemara asked the question, why don't you sefer Torah, you actually make a sefer Chodesh? What happens if somebody wants to sell a sefer Torah? What if they buy an old sefer Torah, an old and frayed sefer Torah, it's from the park, you want to purchase a new one with the proceeds? On the one hand, should we say that since he is not going up in Kedusha, he is not taking the proceeds of the sale of the old Sefer Torah and using it for some greater Kedusha, so it's prohibited, even though he's using it for an equal Kedusha, Oyd Vilma. Or perhaps, should we say, Kim Zalekel Aluyeh, Iluyeh Aklina, Shafet Nami, or should we say that when do I say that you have to ascend in Kedusha when there's a possibility to ascend in Kedusha? When there's no possibility to ascend in Kedusha, you have a pinnacle. That's it. You can switch one to the other.
Trying to gain a better take the Torah without an evil yourself.
I'm sorry?
Trying to gain a better take.
The Gemara is going to go into this shortly. Pashma. The Gemara asks the question. So we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody sold a Teda, lo yichus shvarim, he should purchase with it shvarim. Now, why did the Mishnah say that if somebody sells a sefer Torah, he shouldn't purchase with the proceeds on the Vimik Sovim? If you're not allowed to even sell a sefer Torah to purchase a new sefer Torah, so the Mishnah should have said a greater Kiddush, and the Mishnah should have said, Shvarim, lo yichus shvarim. Why did it say, lo yichus
shvarim?
So, from here we seem approved that Svarim would delay, that what are you not permitted to purchase with the proceeds of a Sefer Torah, of the sale of a Sefer Torah, is Svarim, but what you are permitted to purchase is another Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah, Shabbat on Easter. Well, one Sefer Torah to purchase another Sefer Torah would be permitted. So the Gemara says, no, here's no proof, because if you look carefully at the Lashon of the Mishnah says that Machlu, the beginning of the Mishnah says that what happens if they sold? Doesn't seem to be a case of where you're permitted to do it in the first instance. The Mishnah says, Machru Terah. If they sold the Terah, so you could have done it. The word in here is if they did it, the Ever.
That means any Terah.
No, it means as all of these things are that in the first instance, you shouldn't be selling the Sefer Torah. What happens if somebody sold the Seder Keita. So then he's not allowed to buy with the proceeds a Nevi'im Iksuvim. And of course, since the only thing that he that could be used that you wouldn't be mired in the Kedusha would be another Sefer Torah, he can purchase with the proceeds another Sefer Torah. But that's not talking about whether you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. It's talking about what happens if somebody did sell a Sefer Torah. Now what can he do with the proceeds? He can buy another Sefer Torah and he can't buy Nevi'im Iksuvim. So Abba Machar Torah like Svanim. Svanim would be like a Torah. Shafir Dhamis and Mar Sethmis is in the heavens. It's talking about the heavens. Keep coming by along. But we're asking, like a Chil, if somebody's allowed to go and sell an old Sefer Torah to purchase a new Sefer Torah. The Gemara says, okay, we can't prove from there.
I'm sorry, that was the case. We rejected it. We can't prove Torah to Torah because that was the case.
No, no, no.
Torah to Svanim would be the heavens.
It's not Torah to Svarim to the Adam. If the Mishnah is talking about Mashru, if what happened if somebody went ahead, he didn't ask any questions.
Yeah.
He didn't go to the Rav. He went and he sold the Sefer Torah.
Right.
Now he has the proceeds. Now he comes to the rabbi and says, what can I do with these proceeds?
Right.
So then he can only buy a Sefer Torah. Now,
right.
The only thing left to do is to buy a Sefer Torah because that's the pinnacle. You can't go up in Kedusha, so at the very least, you shouldn't go down in Kedusha. So you buy another Sefer Torah. So the Rav tells him, let me tell you, don't buy Nevi'im Iksuvim, buy another Sefer Torah. But if someone comes to the Rav in the first instance and says, listen, I have an old Sefer Torah. I would like to sell and purchase a new Sefer Torah. May I do it? So the Mishnah doesn't have any answer for us. The Mishnah is only talking about whether the person did do it. May once, in fact, go and sell a Sefer Torah, and we have no answer yet. But the Gemara asks, the Gemara says like this, Tashma, come in here, and let's try to prove from this. We learned that you can wrap up a Sefer Torah in the mantle of a Chumash. The Chumash, the Mitzvahes Nevi'im Iksuvim, and a Chumash you can wrap up in the mantle of Nevi'im Iksuvim, because it's the lesser holiness of Nevi'im Ma'ilu B'Kedush. Avolei Nevi'im Iksuvim Mitzvahes Chumashim. But conversely, you cannot wrap up Nevi'im Iksuvim, which are the mantle of Nevi'im Iksuvim, you cannot wrap the Nevi'im Iksuvim in the mantle that belongs to a Chumash, because Chumash is of a higher Kedush. Avolei Chumashim, and Mitzvahes Sefer Torah. Similarly, a Chumash, which is an individual Sefer of the Torah, doesn't have the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah, he can't wrap it in the mantle of a Sefer Torah. The problem is, what do we see anyway from this? That Gerlim Sefer Torah, the Mitzvahes Kumoshim, that you can wrap a Sefer Torah in the mantle of a Chumash, so what do we say? Mitzvahes Kumoshim means you can wrap a Sefer Torah in the mantle of a Chumash, but it doesn't say here that you can wrap a Sefer Torah in the mantle of another Sefer Torah. You can't take one mantle from one. You can't take a mantle from one Sefer Torah and use it for another Sefer Torah. Mitzvahes Sefer Torah might. The Gemara says if you try to bring a proof from there, you're going to get into trouble because Eima Sefer. Look at the end of what we just said. You cannot wrap a chumash in the mantle of a sefer Torah. From that it would seem that you can't wrap a chumash in the mantle of a sefer Torah, but that you can wrap a Torah from the mantle of another sefer Torah. The writer wasn't trying to bring the rule at all one way or the other, and so you can't bring the proof from one way or the other, because what the beginning would seem one way, and the end would seem another way. Tashma, the Gemara tries to bring the proof from another part. And Nichin Sefer Torah al-Gabi Torah. The halacha is that you can put one Sefer Torah down on top of another Sefer Torah. Torah al-Gabi Chumashim. You can lay a Sefer Torah on top of a Chumash. A Chumash al-Gabi Nevi'im Iksuvim. You can put a Chumash on top of a Navi. Avolei Nevi'im Iksuvim al-Gabi Chumashim. But you're not allowed to put a Navi on top of a Chumash. Lay Chumash al-Gabi Torah. You're not allowed to put a Chumash on top of a Torah. And so what do we see from here in any event? That you can put one Sefer Torah down on another Sefer Torah, which would mean that we're not particular about co-equal Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. So it would seem to suggest from here that you can sell one Sefer Torah to buy another Sefer Torah, and to use the mantle from one Sefer Torah for another Sefer Torah. Incidentally, this that we just said, that you can't put down a Chumash on top of a Navi, and a Navi and a Navi, I'm sorry, you can put a Chumash on top of a Navi, but not a Navi on top of a Chumash. So in strict halacha, that only applies to where it's on a, well, I'm not talking about printed svarim. So in strict halacha, one sefer has no greater kedusha than another sefer when it's printed. Nevertheless, I saw with my own eyes that the other was very makbid, keeping that separation of that you don't put a chumash on top, a navi on top of a chumash, and you don't put a siddur on top of a chumash, etc.
We cannot conclude anything from this discussion. Oh.
So far we seem to have a proof that you could, that you can exchange, because you said you can put one sefer Torah down on top, to lay one sefer Torah on top of another sefer Torah. Whereas you're trying to bring the proof about from the fact that you can lay one sefer Torah on top of another sefer Torah. Shani anachah b'lay asher. The reason why you're allowed to place one sefer Torah in another sefer Torah is because it's impossible not to put one sefer Torah in another sefer Torah, as we'll soon explain. The Eloi Dimoch, because if you wouldn't say that you're allowed to put one sefer Torah on top of another sefer Torah, you wouldn't be able to roll up a sefer Torah at all. Nishra Chesik Kachinan, how would you ever roll up even a single sefer Torah? Well, because Yotzev Bachar, when you roll up the sefer Torah, you're putting one page on top of another page. You're putting one oven of the Torah on top of the other. At the end, you're going to have, when you're rolling all the way to the beginning of Bereshit, so you have the whole Chumash sitting on top of the Seis HaBracha. Given the way Asher, since it's impossible to work any other way, so therefore we say that just like you're allowed to put one oven on top of another oven, you're allowed to put one Seis HaTorah, another Seis HaTorah. Achenamik, you play Asher, Shari. So now we have no proof one way or the other, because we can't bring the proof from the fact that we're laying one sefer Torah in another sefer. Where it drives me to another proof. Hashma, Kamen Yed, Amar Abba Bar Chana, Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Rabba the grandson of Chana said, Amar Abba Yechna, in the name of Yechna, Yishun, Yishun, Gamliel, in the name of Yishun, Gamliel, Yishun, Gamliel, Yishun, Gamliel, Yishun, Gamliel, Yishun, Gamliel, a person should not sell a sefer Torah, an old sefer Torah, in order to purchase a new sefer Torah. Now, that would seem to be an absolute proof that you're not allowed to do it. The Gemara says, no. You think that that's an absolute proof, but no, it's not. The Gemara says, the problem over there is that we're talking about where somebody wants to sell a Sefer Torah and then retain a Sefer to write a new Sefer Torah, and we're afraid that in the eventuality that the Sefer is going to quit or something's going to happen, you're out of town, you're going to end up not writing the next paper,
like we said yesterday, right,
about the creating the building of a shul. Kikam Rino. The Gemara says, when do I say that? Kikam Rino. What am I asking about? Going to receive a monthly ifruki. That there's a sefer and he has already a prepared sefer there. It's ready for sale. And so all he has to do is get paid. So if you sell your sefer Torah and you have the purchase money ready, so there's no question that there's no problem of pshiyah. We're not gonna be afraid. It's not like the building of a shul where you train one shul and then you're gonna build another shul in the interim. Who knows what can happen? And the building would be interrupted. Or if you sell a sefer Torah and retain a sefer to the writer of sefer Torah, who knows if it'll ever get completed. Here we're talking about a completed sefer Torah that he wants to purchase. So all he has to do is sell his old sefer Torah, immediately take the proceeds and purchase the new sefer Torah. So we don't have an answer from here.
Well, that statement is helpful. Now, that statement, we rejected it because of
that case may very well be talking about. There's no proof one way. That case may be talking about where you wanted to bring the proof from. Is maybe talking about where he wants to sell the sefer Torah and retain a sefer to write a new sefer.
And the Gemara rejected it. That maybe shouldn't be used.
Right now, but here we're talking about the question that we're asking is not whether he's going to go and retain a sefer to write a new sefer Torah. We're talking about that. I'm asking, says the Gemara, my question is, what happens if I have an old sefer Torah? The sefer has already prepared sefer Torah, a new one. I want to sell my old sefer Torah and purchase the new sefer Torah that's already written. There, it's not likely to say that it's going to be pshiyah.
So why can't
these
sefer Torahs be divided?
Because that case doesn't say clearly that's talking about a case where there was already a prepared state of terrorist.
He's saying, okay, in the second case when it is ready, can't we make any inference?
You can't make any inference from a case where the Gemara was found. The Gemara tries to bring a proof from an instance where we said that you're not allowed to sell. Yeah, we said in the name of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, all the way back many generations back. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Rabbi the grandson of Rav Chana, said in the name of Rav Yerushim, who said in the name of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that you're not allowed to sell an old sefer Torah to purchase a new one. So we would seem to have an absolute proof from the Tana that you're not allowed to engage in this activity. Yet, we're saying that
applicable.
That case may not, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel may not have been talking about an instance where the cipher already has
been
prepared, because he may have been talking about, he may have been talking about.
That's the point. The point is, since in that case it was not applicable, it can't you derive.
So you can't derive a proof about a case where the cipher already has a secretary that's already prepared. If Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, we don't know exactly.
We say that the case in Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's case
of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel,
right,
of many, many generations ago, said a halacha, but we're not sure exactly what the parameters of that halacha was. He said only very generically that to buy a new one, that's prohibited. Now, it may be that all he was referring to was a case where you wanted to retain a cipher. But how about in a case where you already have the cipher, already has a prepared cipher? Maybe Rav Shimon ben Gamliel wasn't referring to that instance. So we don't have a proof one way or the other.
If he had known for sure, then we could have derived.
Absolutely, because he didn't have from Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. But we don't know what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was referring to. He may have only been referring to a case where you want to retain a cipher. So Tashma. So now we're going to try to bring a proof from elsewhere. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shimon Rameir. Does Rabbi Yehuda say the name of Rameir? Ein Moichin Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Elo will make Torah. Now you were talking, you asked me about this yesterday. If there's any instance we allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, said we'll get into it. But not now. Ein Moichin Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Elo will make Torah. To study Torah, the Lisa Isha, and to marry a woman. Somebody owns a Sefer Torah, and he needs some money so that he can give Nazim, so that he can, he's going to be opposite way. He wants the Yantar to make the Chasna, so he's allowed to sell the Sefer Torah, or if he wants to go to Yeshiva and he has no money for tuition, he can sell his Sefer Torah. So, so the Gemara first wants to bring a proof that Torah b'Torah Shapitam. Since she said that you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah in order to study Torah, so we're exchanging one Torah for another Torah, the Sefer Torah for the study of Torah, but we see that Torah b'Torah can be exchanged. Torah b'Torah Shapitam, it's okay. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. The old Mashani Talmud, perhaps you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to study Torah, because studying Torah is greater than having a Torah. Talmud, maybe with a Maisa, because somebody studies Torah, it's going to bring him to do the mitzvahs. Because if he doesn't study, he doesn't know what the mitzvahs are. He doesn't know what Allah is. He can't fulfill the mitzvahs. Since he can't fulfill the mitzvahs without knowing the mitzvahs, if he doesn't know the Allah is, he doesn't know what to do. So we say that that's greater than having a Sefer Torah. Selling a Sefer Torah for another Sefer Torah, you just exchanging one kedusha for the next kedusha of co-equal kedushas. Also, with respect to a woman, one might think, oh, one second, if I could sell a Sefer Torah to marry a woman, so then it seems to stand to reason that I could sell a Sefer Torah to buy another Sefer Torah. Well, what's so great about marrying a woman? The word says, no, the mitzvah of marrying a woman is a tremendous mitzvah, because lo yisrael v'ral l'sharet yisrael. The pasuk that said that the world wasn't created for to go and void, but rather to settle the world, huh?
Having children.
And this pasuk is for reference to having children. This is not a hefker petrish gevel. So marrying, that you say the whole civilization is dependent on children, and so we can sell the Sefer Torah in order to marry one. I'll tell you that to sell one Torah, but another Torah would be accomplished. Life, so you're not allowed to. So we can't bring a proof from there either. So now turn it up on the comes of the yinkarad and potato apple pishen is tzarech light. Now, so we, at the end, we have no proof one way or the other if you want to sell a secretariat or another secretariat. But now the Gemara just says another halacha. A person is not allowed to sell a secretariat even though he has no need for it. So we say he has no need for it means not that the person is not religious. It means he has a bunch of he has already a secretariat. He doesn't need this secretariat. Yes, so he's still not allowed to sell. Yasin al Kain, even more than that, I'm Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, I feel it ain't my yeshal, even if somebody has nothing to eat, a machar sefetarian, he went and he sold the sefetarian, or he sold his daughter as a maidservant, his daughter who was a katana, he could sell her into servancy. The ain't reyes, sin and bracha leilam, he won't see with the proceeds of their sale any sin and bracha forever. So we said the Mishnah that the proceeds of the sale have to be used for a higher condition. So sell the center of the city, city square, you have to buy with it the proceeds at least the shul or something of greater condition.
Let me stop for a second. He sold the sacred Torah. What did he do with the money? He invested it in another sefer Torah?
Bought another sefer Torah. He sold the sefer Torah because he was hungry.
Right.
So, sefer Torah, you can sell a sefer Torah for
$25,000.
Okay. So, he ate $50 for it. Yeah. He had $24,500. Okay. He bought a house. He is not going to see much production from that house. The chesed meisraelim. Same thing is with the extra money that comes from the sale. And yesterday we explained two different ways what the word misreihem. Either misreihem means that he sold the sefer Torah. That's not the sefer Torah, but he knows who can sell it. He sold a bima and he sold it for $1,000. And now he bought with it matzah. He bought a mantle for a sefer Torah. The mantle for the sefer Torah was $900, and there's $100 left over. So he said in the Mishnah that you have to use that leftover, the remainder. Meaning the remainder you have to use for the same thing again for a higher condition. Put it away from matzah for the sefer Torah, which can't go use it for anything, even though most of the purchase money most of the proceeds of the sale was used to purchase a mantle. We don't say, okay, since you used it mostly for something of a higher condition, that the rest is okay to use for any other use. No, you have to use the whole thing for the higher condition.
I mean,
this Lazarus explains a little bit differently. He says that Mishrayim is that you sold a bima, let's say, that was valued, fair market value of $1,000, and you sold it for $1,200. So I would have thought that since you got more than fair market value, that only $1,000 of the sale price would have to be used for higher conditions, because that corresponds to the value of the bima. But the extra money, the greater than market value for which you sold the bima, should be able to be used for whatever it is that they want to use it for. So we say, no, that even the sale above market value, that part also has to be used for kedusha. We're only talking about a case when we say that the remainder has to be used for a higher kedusha and can't be used for any other use. Is when we're talking about actually a sale of a dover kedusha. Avo, but in a different type of a case, where Gavu Goyisiru, let's say they made an appeal. And Shol, we want to buy, Gavu gets up and says, we want to buy a new bima. Bima costs $1,000, so I hear pledges, and 11 people will pledge $100, and then they realize, one second, they got $1,100 for a $1,000 bima. What could they do with the extra $100? So I'm not sure you can do what they got, you can do whatever he wants with it. He doesn't have to buy an $1,100 bima or put away the $100 for the purchase of a later bima or to put it towards the safe potato. He can do whatever he wants with it. Eisrei, Abaya. So Abaya asked a question. So now I'm going to ask a question on this, that Rabbah said that you can, that the only time that you can't use the Mesreihem is by a Mechira, but when it's by an appeal that you raised more than you needed, that you can use it for whatever you want. So I'm going to ask a question on it.
Anyway, you're not going to give it back to the people.
No, it was raised already. They gave it to the doctor. Now the question is, what can you do with it?
You know, the people that
guy says he wants to give it. Right. It wasn't the next person. He's giving the money, but now that he gave it, so, or they collected. They didn't realize the last day they collected. Now, who are they going to give it back to? That they didn't make, when did we say that you're not allowed to use the Mesreihem for anything else? Is when they didn't make a Tanai. Even if they made a Tanai, a little bit of the Chsusia. Then they can do it, you can purchase even with it the Chsusia. The Chsusia, we're not going to tell you now what it is, the Gemara is going to tell you later what.
And who is the people that make
We're going to keep you in suspense right now.
Who are the people that ship to
I'm sorry?
Who are the people that make the Tanai, the people collecting the money?
We're going to learn that as well. So what Heichi Dami. How's it talking about Ilema? We didn't even say yet in this case what we're talking about, that there was a Tanai about what? Are we talking about a sale, or are we talking about that they made an appeal and they raised money? What are we talking about that they made a Tanai? Ilema Shamachra Vaisidu, if we're talking about the case that they sold a Dima and there was extra money. What does it help to make a Tanai? There was already Kedusha on the Bima, so how can you make a Tanai that the money, the extra money, should go for whatever you want? There's already a Kedusha that's attached to the Bima, and the sale proceeds transfers the Kedusha from, the sale transfers the Kedusha from the Bima to the sale proceeds. So rather we must be talking about that they made an appeal and there was extra. Now, what was the reason that we just said that you can use the extra money for whatever you want was because they made a Tanai. What did Rava say? Rava said that anytime you make an appeal and there's extra money, they collect more than is necessary, you can use it for whatever you want. Rava didn't say a condition that's talking about a limitation, that's talking about when they made a Tanai. When they were first collecting the money, they said, listen, what do you say we're making an appeal? And let me just tell you that if there's any extra money, we're going to use the extra money for whatever we want. Rather didn't say any such condition. Rather just said that if you raise money on an appeal and there's extra money, you can use it for whatever you want. So we have a question on Rather. Oh, well, it's no money. So the Gemara says, no, you're making a mistake. You thought that this is talking about this case where we said that if you made a Tanai, you can use it for whatever you want, you can purchase even a Chsusia. It wasn't talking about, as you just thought, a case of an appeal. It's talking about, like we originally thought, Shemachru Veizino, that they sold, and there was extra, there was a remainder after they sold and purchased a new one. This is what it's meant to say. When do we say that you're not allowed to use with the proceeds of the extra that was left over, the remainder that was left over from the sale? You can't do whatever you want with it. Shalai hisna shiva to be a the maimed on chair here, that it wasn't done in front of the board of directors of the city community council and the presence of the anshei ha'ir, the citizenry. But we said earlier, right, we said yesterday that what happens if our Mishnah, we said, is talking about a case where they just went and sold it, that the Gabi of the Shul went and sold it and didn't ask anyone permission. So now the question is, what do we do with the proceeds? But in a case where they take the community council or the board of directors of the shul together with all the congregants of the shul and in their presence, they sell the shul or they sell the bima, they can take the purchase money, the sale money, and use it for whatever they want. So this is just to say a restatement of that same rule.
which would deploy with even greater force. That if you went, in fact, and you sold the shul and you bought within a sefer Torah and there was money left over, so certainly if you sold the shul in the presence of the board of directors and the presence of the congregants, you can use the money for whatever you want. That's what we said yesterday. But if they sold it in the presence of the Shiva Tumi Ir and the Maimed Anshei Ir, and they said, listen, you want to sell the shul, and you, the board of directors, should know that we're selling the shul and we're not going to be using the purchase the sale money that for to purchase say potato. We're going to be using it to buy wine and put in a swimming pool and we're going to use it to make a gym or something. So they can do whatever they want. So my answer to the associate money was the same. They can buy even the associate. I'm going to have a woman. I'm going to have a Baya said to the rabbi who was sitting and being the father of Mishnayos in front of Rav Sheshet. Now remember that in the old days, you couldn't write down things. They would learn their chazer, Teresh Baal Peh. So he was saying, repeating his Mishnayos to make sure that he got it all correct. He was saying it in front of Rav Sheshet. So he asked...
Who was talking now? Probably knew Mishnayos very well.
We're not talking about Rav Sheshet. We're talking about the rabbi who was sitting in front of
him. Rav Sheshet.
Rav Sheshet knew. So, but now, this rabbi, he's asking, did you ever hear from Rav Sheshet what the Duchsusia is? He said earlier that if you want, if you have leftover from the proceeds of the sale, there's leftover extra money, and you sold it in the Maimed Anshei Ya'ir and the Zayin Tuvei Ya'ir, so you can use it to purchase even the chsusiyah. He asked this rabbi from Rosh Hashanah, what is this that this the chsusiyah? Amar Lech, he said to him, Hachim Rosh Hashanah, this is what Rosh Hashanah told me. Trasha Dimasa, it's the communities of carriage that they use to sometimes defend off to go to the provincial government or something. But sometimes they need to have a coach for that purpose. So if they want, they can use it to purchase that. Omar Abaya. So here Rashi says what it is. Kosha the Masa. And here's the thing of the major. So they hire a person who rides a horse. She hailing the zumul l'shalchi b'shlich initially irkshin barcha to send him off on their shlichas to the mayor when necessary.
Why is it sound so low? I mean, you need an important person to go there. Why do you need to go fast?
No. The point is, you can use this for whatever purpose you want. You're just saying,
I know, but I mean, it's not like the lowest level. I mean, you could say.
We talked about beer party.
Or you could build a basic key tree or something like that.
Yesterday we talked about selling it to beer. Amar Abaya. So it's just an expression. So Amar Abaya. So Abaya said, "Hilchach." From here we see that high children in Abonon, that when you have a young rabbi, he wants to know, he sees it comes across the word, he doesn't know what it means. He wants to know the definition. He should ask someone who sits in front of the rabbi, the loy esher, because it wouldn't be possible that he never came across this terminology. If you want to know the definition, you don't have a dictionary, you ask someone who sits in front of a great rabbi. He probably uses great vocabulary. How about Yeshua Mishum of Meir? Rabbi Yeshua said in the name of Rameir, B'nei Yeshua Hosul Yerachereth. Now we're going to talk about, will you have some schnorrers who went from one town to the next town to raise money? So let's say you have guys in front of heights, they realize they want to build a mikveh, they want to build something, and they don't have sufficient funds, and they're not able to raise the funds from within the community. So they go to another community. So for many years, here's the possibility in Tzedakah. So they went to another two stars, Reuben and Shimon, they went to Bar Park, and they raised money. But possibility in Tzedakah, people promised money, so they give the money at first. The money is given by the people in Bar Park to the gabbai in Bar Park. So that, because what happens is, let's say you go into a shul in Bar Park. You go into the Beis Medrash of 14th Avenue, and you make an appeal, and you say, listen, Rabbi Yisrael, The community in Crown Heights is very poor. We're trying to build a nice mikveh. The old mikveh is decrepit. We need to raise $1 million. Can you help us out? This is a wealthy show. Maybe you can dig deep into your hearts and into your pockets, more importantly, and give someone. So they say yes. And this one promises $1,000. This one promises $1,000. Next one promises $1,000. You know what? Lazy, who's sitting in the back of the basement, she didn't promise anything. But you know what he suspects? He suspects that Reuven and Shimon and Yehuda and Yitzchak, they promised $1,000. They never pay enough. So in order that they should be suspected in the eyes of Lazy, they give it to the Gabbai of the Shalom 14th Avenue. When they're ready to leave, when the two stars from Grand Heights are ready to leave, they go to the Gabbai in Park Park and they say, now hand over the money. Well, finance and bond, the Iran, and they come back and they use it for the tzedakah in their town back in front. I mean, on the hockey, we learned the same, similar to what we just said. The shnoris of one town that went to another town to raise money, the poskim lay in tzedakah, they promised money.
What do you call the shnoris? The gabbai tzedakah.
I'm just calling shnoris just because
supposed to be the highest level, like gabbai tzedakah.
The fundraisers, do you like that better?
Snorer,
in English, it has a derogatory connotation.
Even in Yiddish.
But snorer means to solicit. Okay, I will use the term fundraiser. So when they depart, they take the money from the gabbai in.
How does that remove this extra shash that people think that like they give? They gave, but they get.
No, because since they're giving it in the
that town,
in that town, so the gabbai everyone sees because they put up a sign.
True, but when they leave, they're going to get the same money back from the gabbai and then they take it to the town and give it to the stock over there.
No, we're not talking about lechoshit. The person. Let's say you have, like I said, Reuven promises $1,000, Shimon promises $1,000, Levi promises $1,000, Yehuda promises $1,000. Zvulun and Apollo are sitting in the back of the shul. It's a fact that Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Yehuda are not actually getting the money. But if you come to the gabbai of their shul, so
when they leave, the gabbai gives them the money and they take it to their town and they give it stuck over there, right?
Right.
So the same thing. That person, doesn't have the kashash. He says he saw the person give the money. But now the person's going to get the money back when he leaves. The gabbai's going to give it to him. He's going to go back to his town. How do you know he's going to give it? If you have to shush on that, he's not going to give it.
No, we trust the gabbai is going to give it to the fundraisers. And the fundraisers are two together, so they have no money. As for your question, of course, the IRS suspects so is that somebody's getting a kickback of this charitable fund. But the point is that if anyone comes, if Zvulun and Apollo say, "Hey, you guys are full of baloney. You never actually gave the money," they think, "Well, ask the gabbai. He'll tell you I gave the money." The Yachas are halachically racher. The Pascha loves tzedakah, but by contrast. If somebody goes to a resident of Crown Heights, he goes to Borough Park, and in Borough Park, they're raising funds for tzedakah. They say, listen, the people are starving. Can you promise to give $1,000 for the poor people? And this resident of Crown Heights lifts his hand and says, yeah, I'll give $1,000 for the poor people. But he doesn't specify that he's going to give it for the poor people of Borough Park. He just says, I'll give $1,000 for the poor people. And he wants to give it to the poor people in Crown Heights. Yachid Shaholik, the Ira Harris, Paschal of Tzedakah, and they agreed upon an amount that he was going to give to Tzedakah. He tells him, he has to give it to the people in Borough Park. Rahuna goes to time, he said. Rahuna made the creed of Tainus. All the gabe davchana barchan loyim chodim imasa. So when Rav Huna decreed a Tainus, apparently there was a trial, and davchana barchan loyim and all of his congregants came to Rav Huna on the fast. So as in the fast, you not only want to fast, you also want to promise money to tzedakah. So I'm a liar to tzedakah. So they made an appeal, and they said everybody's going to give so much and so much money to Yahu, and they actually gave the money. Kibola, they say, when they wanted to leave, so as we said earlier, when you promise money in one town, and they intend to take it home with them, we said a yachid has to give it where he is, but the rabbi, it would seem, can take sacks of money and bring it to their town. Leave it here. So Amar Lahu, he said, Tanina Bamed, he didn't want to give back the money. So he said, when did we say that you have to give back the money? Kesha'en Sham Chaver here. Only when there is no Chaver here. Yesham Chaver here. If there is a great distinguished person, this great rabbi in this town, then obviously you gave it on his, on what, on the night that he can do whatever he wants with it. So since he gave it an arm, a person, that distinguished person, he gave it to me, he gave it for my purposes, for whatever I want to do with it. But in us in the Chavir here, it has to be given to Cholskin, even in the general case, if there's a Chavir here, you don't get back the money if you promise. Whether or not it's a yachid or a rabbin that promised in another town money, they don't get back the money if there's a chaver here. In this case, you're certainly not going to get back the money because not only in the chaver here, I also have my tzedakah. It's not just limited to this town. I get to your town. I provide for the poor people in your town. So sure, you want to use the money exclusively for your town, but it's not right that if you leave it with me, that at least part of the proceeds is not going to go to your town. Some of it will go to your town because I provide for both this town and that town as well. So certainly, you should leave the money with me. In Moshe Shalom Rabbi Liyakim Reshim Lidim Leitim Kedesh Asher. In Amar Asel, something that belongs to Rabbim for Yakim. So let's say you have a shul. We're specifically talking about presumably a shul or a medrash that belongs to the public. You can't sell it for the same use, but for private. So Christian says, listen, I can't always make it to shul. This shul is dwindling. Sell it to me. I want to daven here. Be chiddush. This one's a shul. I'd like to use it. I'd like to daven here. I can't walk to the minyan. Sell it to me. I'll use it for myself. Nation of Eden, they think it's a shafe because you're diminishing the net's kedusha. Divide the mayor. That these are the words of a mayor. So this is a mayor's case. Amr loyzer chum said, in Cain, aplim near gedil near ktane. If so, you'll be able to sell from a large town to a small town, and that is starting to get into matters of degree, and it's an unworkable rule, and so that can't be the case. So the Gemara says, shafe kind of the rabbanu with a mayor. It seems that what the chum said to a mayor is indisputable logic. So what is Rameir going to answer? Rameir continues his argument. So what is Rameir going to say in response? What kind of logic does Rameir have? So he says, kind of true that from a large town to a small town, kind of starts distinguishing. He called a Kadisha, Ashtarami Kadisha. Before there was a million dominant there, and now there's a million dominant there. In fact, thousands, hundreds, that's just the difference in quantity, but not a difference in quality. Abin Liyachid, but from where? Shibur Davids, from Minyan Davids, the Yachid for a single person, like a Kedusha, there's no Kedusha at all. Just a single person Davids, that's not a soul. We're Abonon, I'm saying, Ekel Amechash, Ehi Gavna, if we're going to start considering not just about quantity, but about if we're going to start considering about quality, as opposed to quantity, Ehi Gavna, not Ekel Amechash, then we can. We should be concerned about selling from a large town to a small town because there also you're changing not just in quantity but in quality. You shouldn't be able to smell it because in a large town you have the mitzvah, again, the mitzvah, the bigger congregation, the greater the glory to Hashem. And here you're diminishing from the Berav Am HaDesmelech. So it's not just quantity, it's quality as well. So we see that we can't start engaging in such calculations, and therefore becomes a consolidated to an individual. Again, we're going to have this machlokes with our mayor. So our mayor said, the only time the latter sell a shul is if you sell the shul on condition that if the congregation wants to repurchase the shul, that they be permitted to repurchase it. It always has to be a conditional sale. If they want, they can sell the shul for eternity. Chutz me'arbat varim into perpetuity. Chutz me'arbat varim. Except for four things that you can't do with the land, that space that he had at the shul. He can't sell the shul in order to be used as a bursi, as a pamerka, to be used as a tannery. He can't use it for a sila that should be used for a mikvah.
Mikvah or bathhouse?
A bathhouse.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
America's a bad guy.
Probably.
America's a bad guy. His killer means actually a mikvah. Being a pirate. Well, based on Hayim, and he used it as a bathroom. You heard the Omer, you heard the missionary from the Shem Chatzar. Sell it for Chatzar, but the case of Mashi Yitzhar, yeah. You sell it without condition, and then the purchaser can use whatever he wants. He can do with it whatever he wants. So we have. Now, can you sell it ultimately knowing that it's going to be used as a bathroom? So one of the things, if you know it's going to be used as a bathroom, can't sell it. So you sell it without conditional baths, without specification what to use, so they can use it whatever they want.
What happens to whatever man? Does he agree with those four things?
Well, he doesn't state an opinion.
Could be that based on what they're using, he'll take it back anyway.
Maybe.
It could be more of a subjective thing.
Well, the Meir Heshi's idea. So now the Gemara asks a question. The Meir said something odd. He said that the sale always has to be conditional. But that creates a huge problem. That's going to create a halakhic problem. The problem is that you can create
as you're back the money, interest.
That you're not allowed to take interest, and interest is not always just about a loan. It's about sometimes in all sorts of transactions, of business transactions, you end up with problems of interest. Here you're going to have a problem with risk. And maybe I see that anymore. How could the purchaser live in the house that he bought the shul for to have a house? Now he wants to live in the house. Now what happens if the according to Mary has to be full in condition? So now the shul, the congregation, realizes that they don't want to move to Long Island after all, so they're going to stay in Crown Heights. And now they want to undo the sale, rescind the sale, and move the shul back into the house. So now he's going to have to move out of the house, right? So meantime, he lived in the house. And now he's
rent-free.
Now he's living rent-free. And that's because it was his house. They didn't. So he lived there without any rent. And now he's selling back the house to the shul, to the congregants. He'd be used once again as a shul. And so now he got back all of the money. So he lent them money. In effect, once he set aside the building, so he lent them money and they gave him back his money plus rent-free residency in the house. You could say it's interest.
Wait a minute.
It was not
prearranged this way.
Doesn't matter. There's this interest that's there, right? And then this interest that's mid-erabonim. Interest that's mid-erabonim, so it has to be prearranged. Interest that's mid-erabonim, that if the some effect is that you got
interest, how do you call the interest in mid-erabonim?
It's a bakrib, how they did it? It's Rebbe's number of Yeshua or Rebbe Yeshua's, and they should have Yehuda on Mark. That Rebbe Yeshua, the fact that your mayor was going in the Shisa of Rebbe Yehuda. Now, Rebbe Yehuda has a special ruling about this. The Amar, Rebbe Yehuda said, Tad Echad Rebbe's Mutter. That when you have a Tad Echad Rebbe's, then it's permitted. In other words, he says that. This type, he would hold that in this type, or Yehuda holds that this type of a sale, a conditional sale, where there's rescinded, is okay, even though the fact will come out that you get back your purchase money and you get to live rent free, which would seem to be ribbis. But since it's not certain that part of the sale that it will ever be rescinded, then it's only conditional. It's not echad. A condition has to be met in order for the ribbis to occur, the condition being that the congregation rescinds the sale, that's not considered to be ribbis, not the deraisa, it's rabbanan, and it's much according to Rabbi Huda. We're going to have a machlokes about whether even if Rabbi Huda even holds, if that's even what Rabbi Huda holds, whether anyone holds.
In the end, the halacha is not like him.
The halacha, I would send you right to the look himself in Arak. I don't remember it all that. The Tanya, as we learned, what happens if somebody borrowed money from another, and he has no money to offer?
No, she is normally to lend.
Yeah, he lends money to...
The Yiddish order in both, by the way.
And I know, Bargain and Lion. I know the difference between borrowing
and lending. Most people use Bargain for both.
You can...
All right,
whatever. I didn't show you the Chavirin money. So if somebody lends money to a friend, also lays a damn method. And so now the borrower doesn't have the funds to pay back. So he said, guess what? I have a seal. Take my seal, and you'll take it as recompense for the loan. But he says, listen, I'd like to get it back. So he says, listen, you can probably take the seal. If I get money, then I'd like to give you the money and give you back the seal. Sort of like a pawn. So the sponsor, Moshe, I'll pay these. So in the case where the Moshe, over the seller, that means in this case the borrower who's selling the field to the lender, so that at the end he's going to want to take back his, the moisture is okay. So in the case where at the time, even though it's now in the possession, the field is now sitting in the possession of the lender, but it's the borrower who eats the fruits of the field, so then there's certainly no problem with that. So look, everything is punky dirt. But if you want to have it that the lender, who is the purchaser of the field, should eat these payers, then that would be prohibited, because what happens if the borrower suddenly gains funds and comes to the lender and says, I would like to pay back, and I want to give you all the money, and now to give you back the money, so you're giving back the field. But meantime, the lender ate all the payers. So he got back all his money for the loan plus the payers. That would be, prohibited. Now, here's the important part. Rabbi Huda says, even if the lekeach, that means the lender, is eating the payday in the interim, that's okay, because according to the way we understand it now, it's because he holds, Rabbi Huda holds, that Tadek and Berubis is mutter. And so now we're going to explain that the mayor holds, like Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Huda holds Tadech and Berubis Mutter, and so Rabbi Meir holds Tadech and Berubis is Mutter, and that's why Rabbi Meir says you can sell a shul, and in fact you must sell a shul on condition.
Tadech and Berubis Mutter meaning one person got it, but the other person
didn't. No. Tadech and Berubis means that there's only one avenue, one course under which it will turn out to be different. If that condition is never met, then we will never be rid. Tad Echad means that there are two possibilities.
Yeah.
There's one possibility is that the purchase the no, sellers of no, no, the shul
no, no, no,
will leave the sale as is.
Right.
In which case, as it will turn out, that there will never be rid. Why would we never be rid? It's because I sold the field. Right. I sold the shul and I'm living in the shul. So where's the rib? Then there's another course under which it could occur that there will be this. There's a tad echad that is this and tad echad white is this. So tad echad that is this, says Rabbi Yehuda, according to our current understanding, is mutter, because it may not ever occur that it will ever be different. So what the whole thing is midir abundant. Since midir raisa, rivers is only when it was ksusa, when it was at the time of it was fixed at the time of the lending. Okay, so at the time of the exchange offer, that's the midrash. So it's only the rabbanim, and it's only if it looks like it's not real ribbon, it's only the rabbanim. When is the chachamim making seira? When it's certainly going to come out that at the end there's going to be the upshot is going to be ribbon. But if the upshot may not be ribbon, then it looks more like it looks more akin to an actual sale. And the fact that it was undone and it turns out that there was what appears to be ribbon, under such a circumstance, we're not going to decree that you can't engage in a conditional sale of a property. So holds Rabbi Huda, the Chachamim would disagree. Now we're saying that the mayor holds like Rabbi Huda. So we're going to say that it may not be that even Rabbi Huda holds this, and that, which was going to lead us to the problem with what Rabbi Meir holds, and it could be that Rabbi Meir holds and Rabbi Huda doesn't hold about 5 Echad per year.
Doesn't 7 Echad per year mean that Lav Davka that it has to.
It's Lav Davka that the eventuality of Ribbis will ever occur.
Okay. I actually thought of this. Look, well, normally when you say Ribbis happens, so normally somebody pays and somebody receives, right?
Yeah.
So in this case, the guy's living there free.
Right, and you're receiving.
You're receiving. Now, the other people paying it?
No, of course they're paying it because they could have had time. They could have rented it out. Or they could have used the property. They couldn't. So that's not, that is not the meaning here of Chazaka Brigham. If you're going to appeal to the care of Pedro Ramar Behuda, my. But Amar Behuda, my sister, so Behuda said, my sister, not only is it Muslim, but my sister, there was a story, in fact, that this occurred with Baitis. And Zunin, also said then, after I'll see the blood of Nazaria, that the fellow Baitis and Zunin, he sold it on condition of Peter of Blessed Ben Azari, and he did this by permission of Blessed Ben Azari. Blessed Ben Azari was a Tana, the famous Blessed Ben Azari, who became the Nazi. And he said, the Chisa Shikiyami, the Chayim Balele, such a Drash of the Sentence. Well, the Kea Chikopayis, so yes. And in that case, was a case of the Kea Chikopayis. So you see, I'm correct. You look, it was way back as far as your blessed Ben Azari.
And they canceled the sale and it went back? Or
it doesn't matter whether. The question is if you allow it in, you can engage in the sale, in the conditional sale of property altogether.
But what happens if they make the sale and the act doesn't go through the guy? The condition is pay back the money or pay the rent.
We're going to define that. That's what Gemara is going to talk about later, and maybe that's what we're going to put to how.
Okay, at this point, we don't believe it. We don't.
Right now, we're talking about the whole book there, and as far as we know, it was a story with Rav Elazar ben Azariah and he permitted. Other lights, the Chacham said, "You papashka the story. That's not what happened."
Same right.
Nisham and Aya from this, or Aya, Meisher Echo Pegas, saying, you mixed up the story, it was the Meisher who was eating the Pegas, and he said that was Mother. But look at the case. So you got the facts of the story, Ross. And my father says, you can hear the story, he won the lottery. My father, it wasn't the lottery, it was bingo. He didn't win, he lost. My big night. What's the difference? What's the basis of the this argument. So we already explained what the basis is, but now the Gemara is going to explain what the basis of the argument. Finally, now, what's the basis of the argument between the Yehuda from Tadash and Berikas? That if there's only one possibility of eventuality of this being Ribbis, then it's, well, one says it's permitted, one says that it's prohibited. Marsov or Tadash and Berikas. What's there? The Yehuda says that it's one, Marsov, Tadash and Berikas, and the Chachamim hold that it's prohibited. Also. Rava Omar, Rava says, the Kula Alamah Tadesh of Buddhist Asha. Rava says, one second, you're misunderstanding the whole basis of the Machlikas of Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim. They were not arguing about whether or not the person could live rent free in the house. That wasn't the argument. What they were arguing about, Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim were arguing about, if you can engage in a conditional sale with the understanding that if there's a rescinding of the sale, that he's not only going to, that he has to give back the money minus the rental value of the property. Right? So therefore, the upside is no rivets at all.
Yeah.
But he ends up paying the rent. The other list, the rent fee. Marsov or Ribbis on the Nasla Hachem. One holds, Rabbi Huda would hold that if it's understood that you're going to give back the purchase price, so you're going to give back the rental value, so then it would be permitted. And Marsov or Osir will say it is forbidden. But now perhaps you can explain that Rameh also holds the same way, and that when our Mishnah says that you can sell it on condition, it's referring to he holds like Rabbi Huda, but not that on the when you sell it on condition and the sale is rescinded, that the owner gets to live in it will have gotten to live in it for free. No, when he sells it back to the congregation, he has to deduct from the purchase price the rental value, the fair market rental value that he lived in the apartment and not the building.
So it's ribbis, really.
So then it comes out that there's no ribbis. But Chacham is saying, you're not going to do it. You're not going to sell on a condition that they're going to pay back because at the time, because in the meantime, all this time, you're sitting, at the moment that you now start to undo the sale, it turns out that all this time you were sitting in the living in the apartment for free. The fact that now you're going to pay it back doesn't change the fact that there was a period of time for which you were enjoying this. The Chachamim Oymin,
If I would say, later in the commentary, look, I can sell it for an unconditional sale. You can sell it without any condition of permission of rescinding. I'm going to be hooked on Mishmuel, so you're going to be Mishmuel, what's a lot of the mastermind to think about now? So now, since we were talking about the sale of a shul and the condition of a shul and what you can do with it afterwards, so now we're going to talk about another related halakha that has really nothing to do with the Mishnah, but just a related concept. Some Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mishmuel, look a lot of the Hashem Mayim, the Tech Haba Amar Shul Tzila. If somebody davens in a place, he's not in a shul, he's out in a field, and he davened in that place, and now he has to urinate. So he shouldn't, so he may urinate even within 4 amas of that place where he davened. Amar of Yezus, Micah Mashmula, Yezus said, what's chiddush here that he's telling us? Obviously, it's not a shul, it has no chiddush. He's finished davening, and now that he urinated like in any other place. So neither the Yehuda Imer, we already learned, the Yehuda says, make an eitzel l'shun chatzir, it can sell a shul for a chatzir, but the keich mashir is priyat, and the purchaser can do with it whatever he wishes. Rachfila, Rabbanan, and even the Chachamim would say that you can't do the sale if you know that it's going to be used for a Beis HaKisa, you can't sell it, but then, when do they say that you can't sell a shul if they know that it's going to be used for a Beis HaKisa, is when you're talking about a proper shul, then you can't do it. I'm a select speaker to Shasai, but somebody just found was davening in a field and he now finished davening. What kind of condition does that field have? Why would I even suspect that you couldn't urinate there? The Tana comments that Machman, a Tana learned in front of, there was a student who was learning in front of Machman, and he said him as follows, Marshakari Ba'amas of Mashtim. He said that a person who wants to daven, someone who's davening and he wants to urinate, he should move away for Amis and urinate. But Mashta Marsha Kar Ba'amis is following. Somebody wants to daven, someone who urinated should move away for Amis and daven. Amar Leg, so he said, I understand, Bishlay Mashta Marsha Kar Ba'amis, I can readily understand that somebody who urinated should move away for Amis and follow them, you know, because we learned Kami Yarshik in the head. I mean, I say Arba Amis, how far should a person distance himself from urine and from excrement, you know, for Amis? Elam follow Marshak Arba Amis. But why would you say that somebody who is followed should move away for Amis and Mashkin and then urinate? For what reason? If you say that any time that you daven, that from now on, if you want to urinate anywhere near, you have to move away 4 amos from that spot. The whole Harda would be holy. People have davened in every place in the Harda. So now you can't use any place in the Harda as a toilet. So funny. So it says, Yisha. Doesn't mean, when we say that you should be marchik arba amos, doesn't mean in distance, it means in time. That you should wait the time of Dalad Amis before you daven. Now we say, I understand. It makes sense that somebody who urinated should wait the period of 4 Amis before he davens, because to make sure that he's actually finished urinating and that there aren't any drops continuing to come out. But the person who davens should wait 4 Amis before he urinates. Why should he have to wait at any time? For a few seconds after the person finishes down, if he's still involved in the feeling, he may actually still be saying words and he's not even realizing that he's finished. And so you should wait a few seconds before you continue. The last one, the same one. The next few 4 cases, I'm going to start with Zion Lama Peinon. Shalot Amulet Rabbi Zakai. The Talmidim asked Rav Zakeh, "Amar ha'rachem yamim." So, on what chus do you have that you live so long? Amar lehem, he said to them, "Yamim leishtanti bi mayim b'techar ba'amishal tefillin." I never urinated within 4 amas of tefillin, whatever that means, as we explained earlier. "Malei kinesi shem lechavedi," and they never call someone by a nickname. "Malei b'tav kiddush ayin," and they never make kiddush on something other than wine. "Dima zekina ha'isali," I had an old mother. "Pam achas machachipa shebedeisha." She knew how important this was to me, that she once stole the veil from the top of her head, the veil kiddush hayin, so that she would have sufficient funds to purchase wine to bring to me to make kiddush. Hannah, we learned, when she died, she became wealthy because of it, and she left over 300, because of this chus that she sold her veil for a cup of wine. When she died, she left over 300 barrels of wine. Kishamez, who, when he himself died, so the back gate, he left over 3,000 barrels of wine. He was so particular about making kibsha.
Whether he consumed the wine every time, or he...
I don't know. He made kiddush on wine. He was particular to make kiddush on wine. Rav Huna, how he answered Isa, the card got made that Rav Huna he went once to learn, and he had a gartel made out of twig of a, I'm sorry?
Mingumi.
I think it's straw or whatever.
It's a mingumi.
A weed or something. He had kash. Here it's a kash. He had some sort of
straw
belt. The koi came to Rav, and he was standing in front of Rav. Amalei, so Rav asked, "My hi, what's this all about? Why are you wearing a straw belt?" Amalei, he says, "We have a kiddush. I didn't have one for kiddush. Must come to them. And I pawned my belt. By kiddush, with the proceeds, I purchased one for kiddush." Amalei, he said, "Yehidava, the second b'seder, he may be Hashem's will that he should be surrounded and wrapped in totally himself." The equal that Abba Bidei, when Abba, his son, got married, and Rapunah in his Shlutza Haber, Rapunah was a short man. Gona, he went after the Chasna, whatever he went to lay down, and he was of short stature. Asim Benasi, the Chalote, and his daughters-in-law came, and Shalcha Vashadim Manayu Alai, they went and they put down their coats on top of him, and they didn't sit right until he was completely wrapped up in silk. Shama, now when Rav heard this story about how it was Mekuyan, it turned out it was the purchase money for the silk clothing for the daughters, and the daughters-in-law came from him. In other words, the bracha of Rav was Mekuyan. When Rav heard that the bracha was Mekuyan, he was upset. He said, "Amar, my time of life, I gave you a bracha and it was Mekuyan. If you had said to you too, right back at you, Rav, Rav would have also become a wealthy man, but Rav didn't become a wealthy man because he didn't give back to Bracha, so he was upset. Why didn't you bench me, say, to you too? So the Chaim Amar, you should have said, to you too. Shal the Talmidah, I said, Malazim and Shamua, so now we just talk about Rabbi Yitzchakai, why he lived long. So they asked the Talmidah Master of Malazim and Shamua, what's this you have that you lived so long? He said to him, the other way is to come out of the Lubeta Fest. I never made a shul into a shortcut. And they never walked over the head of the holy people. In other words, what happened is that he didn't, when everyone was sitting on the floor, he didn't walk between them so it would seem, it would look like the casual observer, like he was walking on the congregant's head. I refrained from doing that.
It probably made me stand up.
Well, what it was that he didn't make himself look like he was treading on other people, and like he didn't care about their cause.
And what became of the other came in first, or maybe one on the side entrance?
How he got in, I'm not exactly sure. But this is what he didn't do. And then I saw the couple people leave bracha, and I never went for Birchus Tain and went out making the bracha of Birchus Tain. And the next one goes into the next stop, so we'll stop here. Just so you know, my wife informed me that I'm going away for Shabbos. I texted Heppenheimer's wife to let her know, to ask him, because I don't have his contact information right now, to try to make arrangements for Friday night Shabbos.
Are
you going Shabbos?
I'll be back. I might be back Sunday night. I may not be back on Monday night. I asked him if I'm in the show. I wanted to do stuff. I haven't found it.